put in. And I've noticed in my recovery, like I go through like waves of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, right? Like usually like, when the pain gets great enough, I'm willing to do the work, and then it brings me to a point where like things are good, and then I coast that for a while, and then, you know, when things get rough or when the people in my network or family will point out like where I'm lacking, it usually sparks something for me to change, right? So when Tommy asked me earlier this week, I was kind of a little off put because I was judging myself for judging you guys for me not doing what I think I should be doing, right? And it's kind of a catch 22 with that. I think that's what it's called. But, you know, I'm from Wisconsin, and I've been down here about 4 years, and the pain was great enough to do something different, right? Like, and when I got here, I was pretty much willing to do whatever you guys said, and I jumped in with both feet. And I took a lot of the suggestions, and my life got really good. And, you know, it's been about 4 years. I'm coming up on 4 years at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I just haven't shared in a long time, so I'm a little nervous. But I'll just take a second to center myself. Yeah, so when I came down to Tucson, everything was brand new and recovery was really exciting, you know, like there's a whole new world to learn about. And, you know, I took the suggestions from the people closest to me to, you know, get a sponsor, home group, be of service, and do the step work. And I did a lot of that, and I saw my life get better. And, you know, where I'm at today, like my life, I did some work, and my life got better, and I've been coasting, right? And on the outside, everything looks good, but on the inside, like, I'm judging myself for, like, not living up to what the program offers. And it's all right. It's just where I'm at. But, you know, the network we build for me is, like, people that are willing to, like, call me out on where I'm lacking. And I got this like this mind that tells me like I don't need help from people, right? I'm sure people can relate to that. And like growing up, I always thought I had to do everything on my own. And it's like deep seated in me, right? Like be self-sufficient, don't rely on others, and just kind of ride out the storm. But one thing I've learned in Narcotics Anonymous is like we can't do it alone, and it's a beautiful thing that we don't have to do it alone, but sometimes I still choose to do it to the best of my ability, and it is what it is, you know, and I got a lot of growing to still do. But what I've learned is in Narcotics Anonymous, like, we have a baseline, right? Don't use no matter what. Like, that's, like, the bare minimum, right? And as long as I'm not using, like, I have an opportunity to grow, right? And I'm still in the game, right? So, like, you know, lately I've been basically just like, I guess, white knuckling it, but like not holding on too strong because like, I'm not using and like, that's a great relief. Right. But like so much more is possible. And I see like my peers, like digging into the program, like seeing the results like in their lives. And not that I don't think it will work for me, but like, it's that deep seated thing that like, I can do it myself. But that's one thing that I guess I have to learn is, like, to be vulnerable with people. And I have a lot of surface-level relationships with a lot of people in the fellowship, right? But I have a very small group of, like, internal, close-knit friends. And it's kind of a paradox because, like, I'm a very social person. It's easy to get to know people. And, like, I can be very kind and caring and compassionate on, like, a surface level. And, like, inherently, I'm an extremely generous person, right? Like, I don't come from a lot, and I've gained a lot, and, like, I'm willing to just, like, share, right? But, like, I guess, like, when the pandemic hit, like, it kind of hit me into, like, a survival mode, right? Like, I'm just going to, like, bear down. I'm going to, like, take care of myself. And, like, that's, like, a part of the disease is, like, total self-centeredness, right? And in that, like, I shut out a lot of the people in my network. And it's just kind of weird because, like, It's just that ingrained in me, like, you don't need help, or you can do it yourself, right? And I don't know where that comes from. I guess it's probably because, like, my parents were divorced, and being the oldest child, I'd, like, somewhat set an example of, like, not looking weak or vulnerable or asking for help. But, like, recovery is totally different. Like, I got to learn how to, like, figure out why I act like that and what those deep-seated traits are and how to change it if I want to grow, right? Because sometimes I don't want to grow. Sometimes, like, from the outside, things are good. I'm comfortable. I'm not struggling anymore. And on some days, that's enough. But then on some days, it's like, okay, Chris, like, you're clean. Life's good. Everything on the outside is hunky-dory. But, like, on the inside, the serenity level has dropped. And it goes like this, just like my recovery does, right? And I guess I got to get back to, like, the basics, like honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And that's what I was hoping by sharing today, like, it would spark that like, drive for recovery. Like, when I first got here, like, I was, like, all over the place. I was extremely involved, and, you know, if I'm, you know, like, I can use, like, what's happening in the world as, like, a great excuse for me to detach from recovery and, like, to, like, get shelled up and not be there for other people. But I guess that's just, like, the core of my disease, because if I really want to be honest about it, like, before the pandemic hit, like, I was already getting stagnant, and, like, I came to a point where I was just like, what's the point? I started questioning all my commitments to Narcotics Anonymous, and, you know, looking back at it, like, it's just, like, kind of deeply ingrained in me, like I've been saying, and I don't know how to change it. And I guess that would probably help if I was, like, in contact with my sponsor, or, like, actually was, like, vulnerable with people and, like, let people know where I'm at. But something about, I guess I haven't got there yet, you know. But as long as I stay clean, like I said, that's the baseline, right? I'm still in the game, because the way I operate when I'm using is, like, I just shut down, and it's just like, it's just like me against the world, I guess. And I can, like I've explained, like, I can do that while clean too. So, like, it's a very tricky thing, is, like, trying to do this on your own. And it's definitely lonely at times. But, and the thing is, like, help's only a call away, or it's like a one action away from, like, getting out of yourself and, like, doing it. And the thing is, like, I've learned those things that Narcotics Anonymous has offered me, and I've learned the tools, and yet sometimes I don't use them, right? So I think, I'm sure there's a lot of people through this pandemic that's kind of felt where I'm at, and, like, the disconnection from our meetings and routines. Because, like, when I first got to Tucson, like, I ingrained, like, my schedules. Like, Mondays I went to this meeting, Tuesdays I went to the men's meeting. It was just, like, ingrained, and, like, no matter, like, I was almost on autopilot in recovery, just, like, doing what I'm supposed to do, and, like, it became second nature, right? And then I guess when all the meetings shut down, it was, like, a great excuse for me to be like, all right, time to coast and see where the chips fall, right? Well, thank God, like, that I, you know, I've kept those basics, like, the don't use no matter what, it's just for today, and keep coming back, and, like, more will be revealed, right? Because sometimes that's all I can ask for, is, like, the daily reprieve from active addiction, because it was pretty shitty before I got here. And then when I got to Arizona, like, my life got new and all these new experiences. So, like, my brother was using back in Wisconsin. I was like, dude, you got to come down here. Like, we got a good thing going on. And that message was brought to me by my friend Jake, who came down here 5 years before I did. And he's like, dude, we got a good thing going down here. And I was like, I'm going to stay back here and keep using. But, you know, once I got here and, like, saw the serenity and the love and the compassion that, like, people generally had for me, you know, I wanted to offer that to my brother. And he just celebrated 3 years this week, and I'm super happy. And he's really come a long way, because, like it's kind of just crazy how recovery works, right? Like, I got here, I was, like, doing the stuff. He came here, and, like, he was kind of where I'm at now, but that's where he was at his beginning. Like, he was kind of just, like, going through the motions, and, like, wasn't really applying the principles and, like, the directions that people in our NA family like would provide him. And now he's just flourishing, and I'm just stagnating. But like I have a feeling, my hope is this weekend like I can like get that spark for recovery and like get out of myself and like ask for help or like find some understanding of what I'm doing here, right? Because like what I've been told is like you can be abstinent for a certain amount of time, but eventually like if you don't do what you're doing, like nothing changes. If nothing changes, like eventually you're gonna go back to your old way of thinking. And I mean, I really can't afford that because the way, you know, we all know what happens when we're using, and I was like a runaway train. But it's just crazy to see how like the cycles of recovery within my actual family and my family in NA, and how like things are all intertwined. Because I never really wanted to get clean, right? And it just got to a point where, you know, the evidence was in front of me. Like, if I keep using, I'm going to die. And someone offered a hand of recovery and kind of showed me the way. And without the people in my NA network and family, like, I'd probably just stray away again. But I'm grateful that, like, you know, I don't have to do it alone. And as long as I'm willing to do the work, like, you have a possibility of a new way of life. And, you know, lately, if I'm speaking honestly, like, I haven't had the willingness to put in the work. But, you know, all I can do is pray about it and ask for the gift of courage and try to do something different. Because if not, like, you know, I mean, I can assume where this path would lead if I don't change it up. And something in me wants to stay clean because I've had a ton of opportunities, you know, to do whatever I want in the last 8 months, but something keeps me clean. A power greater than myself has to, because if I was up to my own devices, like, or like, it could go really bad. But like, so I guess like all I can speak on is my experience of like, you know, at the end of active addiction, my life got so much smaller and it was reduced to such a small thing, right? And then as I entered recovery, it got really big. And my world's getting bigger, and I'm having people in my life, and something inside me wants to not accept that, you know. But I'm here, so I have some level of willingness. Like, you know, I could have not come and stuck in my self-will and done whatever I wanted. But so there is a little bit of willingness in just my action of being here. And then my hope is that, like, I always get a kick out of, like, the social aspect of recovery because, you know, I'm easy to get along with and I enjoy other people. So, like, I guess I'm just grateful that I had the opportunity to be here, you know. And then I'm just glad I could be the opening act for Morgan. That's all I got. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. And I just wanted to say that Chris was willing to step in on short notice, so it's very much appreciated. So good deal. So the next, like, I'm going to say a little bit here about the next speaker, because I did say, you know, about watching people blossom when they come in here, and this young lady, I've certainly been able to watch her do that. But I got a little story of how she got invited to be the speaker here, and I think it's worth noting because this is historic. We're in the first Northern Arizona Convention, and I'm blessed to have it's evolved that I can be a part of this. And I was fortunate with my friend Victoria back there to be a part of the first Southeast Arizona Convention 6 years ago. It's just a big deal, you know, and things get rolling. Recovery starts blossoming more in the region. But anyways, several months ago, I was with a couple of friends in a meeting or in a restaurant in Jerome, where we go before a Friday night speaker meeting in the fire station. And I was with my sponsor, Ken, and we're sitting in a restaurant, and he starts waving at somebody outside, right? And I said, who's he? It's just Morgan's out there, right? She knows, right? She was with a friend. They came up to do some hiking or something the next day, right? And we were just beginning to talk about, you know, inviting people from all over and different places to be workshop speakers. And there she was. And she got invited to be a workshop speaker that night. And she's the first person that got invited to be a workshop speaker at Nakona One. I was just sitting there remembering that. It's really awesome, right? But anyways, I have seen her blossom, and I remember one particular meeting in the north side in Tucson. I was listening just a couple years ago, and she's just talking about becoming the kind of person she wanted to be. And I said to myself, you know, one of these days this young lady is going to be speaking in the workshop. Yep, she is. Here she is, Morgan L.
Okay, I'm Morgan, I'm an addict. That made my heart beat fast. Thank you, Tommy. Thank you, Chris, for sharing. So when Tommy asked me and Jerome, I'm like, I think he'll forget about it. He won't, remember. And then he texted me a couple months ago, and I'm like, sure, I'll do it. Thinking maybe something will change. Maybe COVID will cancel it. I won't have to, right? Because I get, nervous. Because this is, it's just a trip, right? But, then he texted me what the topic was, and I thought it was kind of it was really fitting, right? Because my boyfriend so many times has told me, Morgan, you were a lone wolf for a really long time, right? And these people are part of your pack, right? He's constantly having to remind me that I have this pack, because for a really long time I was really comfortable writing life by myself, right? And through Narcotics Anonymous, I get what a family is in the rooms and what my own family is to me today because of Narcotics Anonymous, you know? And that's really beautiful. Because I simply just didn't want to use anymore. And all these gifts that I keep receiving because I'm clean just blow my mind. I just didn't want to get high anymore, and I didn't know how not to. And now I have these relationships and these goals, and I am becoming the person that I've always wanted to be, and more so every day, right? So starting off with my family, in active addiction, I always felt, even before active addiction, I always felt like I was an outsider. I never felt like I really fit in my family. With my mom, it's okay, look a certain way and you'll be good. With my dad, get really good grades and be really smart. And if you're not any of those things, then you're going to be, I felt uncomfortable, right? And it's for me, I see addiction as this seed, right? That I was born with it. But the more things that kept watering it, oh, I don't feel secure, or oh, I'm not enough, right? It just kept watering that and watering that. So then you bring drugs into my life, and still feeling really uncomfortable. And my aunt, who's my mom and has always been my mom to me, I thought for sure that I could always at least maintain that relationship. But through active addiction, I was just a hurricane. Every time I came, it was just a complete disaster. And when I read the literature, and I can see that I'm not unique in that aspect, because I really did think that I was just a bad person, and that I was okay with letting my aunt cry and my mom worry and all these things, right? And it's no, I have the disease of addiction. But to be able to repair those things for me today, it's I didn't think it was really possible. So the first step for me was making a decision to go into treatment, which I didn't really want to do. I'm just why are you all crying, you know? Maybe I should do something. Maybe I'll take a break, right? I'll take a break and I'll detox. So that was my first step with my family to show them that maybe something was different. So I go down to treatment, and I hear about Narcotics Anonymous, right? And I hear about that all I have to do is stay clean, and all I have to do is change everything. I'm like, whoa, too much, you know? I can't change everything. I'll change a couple things, right? So then as the story goes, right, I relapsed. But I wasn't ready. So my family sees this, and oh, Morgan's doing what she does, right? She's out using again. And then that gift of desperation that I received of all right, man, I'm tapping out. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know how to do this. So I get clean this time, and I almost have 4 years, God willing, all 4 years in February. But you know, I've managed to build that trust back with my family, you know, and I got through all 12 steps, right? And I had my first sponsor, which was amazing, and she guided me. And she was the first person I had trusted in a really, really long time. And I had to make a decision for my recovery to do something different. And like, I had to make a decision to get a new sponsor or I was definitely going to be walking. I thought, I was like, this is a joke. Like, cool, I finished all 12. Why am I not all fixed, right? And so I got with my new sponsor and she's like, oh, you did the ninth step? I'm like, yeah, I did that. She's like, all right, so you wrote the letters. I'm like, I'm just going to do indirect amends. Like, I'm just doing living amends. She's like, no, that's not what we're doing. And I'm like, oh, okay, right. So like, she helped me write these amends letters. And like, I was so afraid, right? Because I'm like, I have all these secrets and they don't know about them. Like, they don't know that I stole. And like, all of these other things, right? And it's like, so I'm going down last Christmas with this like, these little stack of letters to give to all my family. And I'm really afraid. And it was the first time that like, I was able to see Narcotics Anonymous not just heal my life, but like heal my family's. Because I decided to get clean. I decided to use, right? And then I'm an addict, so it's like, wasn't a choice after a while, but like, I decided to do these things, and now it's affecting my mom and my aunt. So I'm like reading, I'm reading these amends letters, and my aunt and uncle have been there for me through so much, and like, I really hurt my uncle, and my uncle doesn't give people too many chances, right? And so I thought that relationship was done. And so I'm standing in front of him, like shaking, like reading this letter, you know? I read him this letter and like, he's like, starts crying and he like gives me a hug. And I haven't got a hug from my uncle in probably like 5 years. And like, my aunt was like in the back, like behind this like window, like staring, you know? And she was like crying, right? And it's like, it was like a moment for me where I'm like, wow, like Narcotics Anonymous is about so much more than just like going to a meeting, so much more about just being abstinent, right? It's like, it has the potential to like heal me and my family. So like, in that aspect of developing a family in Narcotics Anonymous, it's given me like what that really means, because my family unit has never been something like, my boyfriend has this very like high standard of what family is, right? That's how he was raised. It wasn't like that for me. But through Narcotics Anonymous, like, I get what that is today, you know? And I can call my sister or text her on her birthday and say happy birthday, even if she doesn't text me, right? Like, it's doing those things and practicing the tools of Narcotics Anonymous and through the steps, right? And it's beautiful. And every day that I'm clean, I get to prove that to them and, like, just be, like, their niece, their daughter, their sister. And, you know, so then it's like my family in Narcotics Anonymous. And let me grab my phone because there's a really beautiful part of, so I attend a literature study meeting on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays on Zoom. And we always read from the literature. And somebody had picked a passage from, I believe it was we do recover, right? And there's a part in there where it says, recovery becomes a contact process. We lose the fear of touching and of being touched. We learn that a simple loving hug can make all the difference in the world when we feel alone. We are experiencing real love and real friendship. And like, again, right? Like, I didn't have like a basis of what family was. So like, I was never able to be a friend. Like, I was your friend if you were cool and like you gave me what I wanted. But if you ever upset me, I'd ghost you and you were dead to me. So coming into Narcotics Anonymous, I'm like, okay, these people really want to be my friend, right? You know, like, maybe I can get something from them. Maybe they can get something from me, right? And then it's like, then I'm getting like 30 days clean and all these people are excited for me, right? Like, then I'm getting 60 days clean, right? And it's like, okay, like, these are my people. And like, I was fortunate enough to like get clean around the same time as like a group of people like Chris, like Shawnee, right? And it's like, we've all managed to like, yeah, we kind of all veer off, but like, we've all stayed this like unit. Even if like one of us like relapses, we come back. And like, that seat's always there. And like, that's what family is for me today, right? It's like that real love and real friendship. Like, I know that they will call me out on my shit, and I know that they will love me just as much. And like, again, I never thought that that would happen, just because like, I was just completely devastated and wrecked from the disease of addiction, that I would come in here and like have friends that like want to support me, right? Like, that's beautiful. And family to me is just like so much more than just like my blood relatives. Like, it's people that like get me. And like, even if I don't know you, you understand me. And that's incredible. because we all have this thing of addiction and we all have this thing of recovery. And like, that's where like I can get you and you can get me. And that's really beautiful because I've never felt understood ever, right? Like I always felt like an outsider. Even when I did have a group of friends in high school, like I was always just like secretive and like, oh, I can't be myself and all these things. And it's like, I come in here and I have these like group of friends that like, we show up for each other. Like Chris's brother AJ just picked up 3 years. And when he shared, like I had tears in my eyes. I'm so proud of him. Like, I'm so proud of him. Like, genuinely just, like, so excited that, like, we're all doing this together. Even when we fall, dude, like, we're all there for each other. And I'm so grateful for that. And then there's another little person that I wanted to share. I chaired the literature study meeting last night. And I picked a part from What is Narcotics Anonymous. And it talks about... Our message of recovery is based on our experience. Before coming to the fellowship, we exhausted ourselves by trying to use successfully and wondering what was wrong with us. After coming to NA, we find ourselves among a very special group of people who have suffered like us and found recovery. In their experience, freely shared, we find hope for ourselves. If the program worked for them, it would work for us. Like, okay. If it can work for my sponsor, if it can work for Chris, if it can work for Tommy, all these people, like, it can work for me, and that gives me hope, right? Because coming in here when I'm brand new, I was terrified. I was really, really afraid that it's like, oh, we'll love you until you can love yourself. No, no, no. Because if you get to know me, you won't love me. Like, I was certain of that. Like, maybe you guys will like me for a little bit, but that's not true, right? And then it's like, then I come here and in here, and it's like people are, like, recovering, and it gave me so much hope, right? It's the reason that I'm alive today. Is the hopes in this room. And like the message for me today in my experience, like is really all I need. I was like, maybe I should listen to speaker tapes. Maybe I should like write a little speech. Maybe I should like, I was like rehearsing my speech in my head last night. I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, I should write this down. I'm like, no, right? Because all I have to do is honestly share. Like even though I'm sweating and I'm really nervous, like all I have to do is honestly share. And like, I can honestly say that like, if it wasn't for Narcotics Anonymous, like, I would be dead, like, without a doubt. And today, like, I have my family, and I have my family in NA, and, like, NA is really giving me the ability to believe in myself. I started to be somebody that could be employed, right? I started to be able to, like, show up to service commitments. I started to be able to, like, maintain myself, like, consistently, right? And, like, most importantly, like, I have a relationship with my higher power today. And that's something that like took me a really long time to accept. And like some days are like better than others, right? But like I have faith in that today. And I have faith that like no matter what, that like I'm gonna be all right because like my higher power's got me. And you know, because of that, like I'm able to like try to go to school and better myself and like try to do all of these different things. And I'm just like, I'm amazed at what this program has given me in such a short amount of time, right? And it's like, keep coming back? Absolutely. Like, I will definitely keep coming back just for today, right? And so I don't know how long I shared, but I feel like that was good enough. So that's all I got.
Yes, what a special young lady. Okay, one of the things I've learned in here, like we say, any addict can recover. Even people from Philadelphia coming up here and we do recover, Keith.